Last week, I introduced a new sermon series called A View from Above. We talked about the pitfalls that can occur when we try to define who God is. We talked about how idolatry and false worship can be dangerous if we're not careful. And we talked about several different views of God that people have in this country. And my goal for that particular sermon was to try to cover all the false conceptions of God that were you basically could find in this world. But in this series, our goal is to discover how God views us. And when we discover how he views us, we can determine who he really is. Now, if you weren't here last week, you can go to our website and listen to the audio recording. We actually have messages all the way back to January of 2016, so if you missed the message or you're interested in hearing one again, please go on there and check that out. Now, if you were here last week, I have a question. Does anyone remember the last thing that I said in my sermon? The very last sentence? Of course you don't. That's okay. I said, don't stay up too late counting sheep on Saturday night or you might miss the view. Well, that was a hint. And if you missed it, it's okay. We're not all Sherlock Holmes. But the reason for that hint is because one way that God views us is as his sheep. We are his sheep. Now, it's a little insulting at first, but we will soon see that it is quite accurate. And by the end of today's message, we should obtain one piece of the puzzle as to who God is. Many times in the Bible, humans are referred to as sheep. God refers us to as sheep. So I'm going to start talking by discussing several characteristics of sheep. Number one, sheep are foolish. For example, and this is true, if a sheep walks up to a fast-flowing river or stream, they will look at it, knowing that they can't jump over it or swim, but what do? They jump in anyway, and they get washed away. Number two, sheep go astray or get lost, mainly because they're foolish. All sheep want to do is eat grass. In fact, most of them don't even look where they're going while they're eating that grass. And they could look up after hours of eating and be so lost that they have no idea where they are or where their flock is. Number three, sheep are slow to learn. Every shepherd has told countless stories of how sheep are taught a painful lesson but fail to learn from that painful lesson. For example, a sheep may get caught in a barbed wire fence. They'll get hurt, they'll get cut up, and the shepherd will have to get them out. But what do they do the next day? They try to get through that barbed wire fence again. Number four, sheep are stubborn. I read that trying to move a sheep that doesn't want to be moved is like moving an elephant. Once they decide that they don't want to move, good luck. Number five, sheep are unpredictable. A man in Scotland said that if you drive along the roads of the Scottish Highlands, you will soon learn to expect the unexpected. You look ahead on a quiet piece of long, straight road with no cars, and in the distance, you see sheep on the side of the road, and they see you. As you get closer, you think, they're not going to cross the road now, are they? Yep, and I have to slam on my brakes so hard so I don't hit any of them. Number six, in addition to their unpredictability, sheep can be followers. When one sheep decides to start running, they all start running. And if you had the ability to ask a sheep, why did you start running? He or she would say, well, he started running. And if you asked the next sheep, they would say, well, those two started running. And if you got to the last sheep, that sheep would say, I have no idea what's going on right now. Number seven, sheep are dependent on someone to protect them and watch over them. Now, some animals in the animal kingdom can prosper and live without close supervision, not sheep. Sheep are very dependent on their shepherd. They have trouble living without him or her. They may be slow to learn in general, but the cool thing is they actually learn to recognize their shepherd's voice and will only respond to him or her. Number eight, sheep are the same everywhere you go. We have thousands of different cultures on this earth and different animals on each continent, but sheep are the one constant. They may not look exactly the same, but they all act exactly the same. I'm going to recap all eight again. Sheep are foolish. They get lost. They're slow to learn, they're stubborn, they're unpredictable, they're followers, they're dependent on others, and they act the same everywhere you go. Did you catch that? I did a quick switch of sheep to humans. How many of you can relate to at least one of these characteristics? I know I can relate to number 4 for sure. Now, we may not be on the same spectrum as actual sheep, but I think you get the idea. And when it comes to living our lives for God and obeying Him, these characteristics are even more apparent. So we can see why the Bible refers to us as sheep. And last week, I also said that we need humility for a series like this, and I wasn't lying. So, I'm going to break down the human characteristics in case you think you are nothing like a sheep. I'm going to start with number 8. Humans act the same everywhere we go. You may have different customs and cultures and religious backgrounds and ethnicities and languages, but humans basically act the same everywhere you go. Number 1, humans are foolish. I'm not foolish. Actually, I'm very highly intelligent, Gary. Oh, you think you are? I needed to change a light bulb in my kitchen. Now, I could take 2 minutes to go to the garage and get the stepladder, but now I'm just going to choose this wobbly chair, and I'm going to stand on it and try and change this light bulb and hope it doesn't break while I'm standing on it. Or I just have to run downstairs and get something real quick. I know we have hardwood floors and I'm wearing socks, but it's okay. I'm going to be fine. Listen, I don't have a problem with alcohol. I can quit whenever I want. I'm just choosing not to stop because my life is fine. Nothing bad ever happened to me because of alcohol. I mean, I love my 4th wife. I raised my kids for 18 years, so it's kind of nice. And the guys at the bar, they love me, especially after I've had 5 or 6 beers. You know, I've seen what God has done in the lives of people around me. It's not for me. I mean, Gary, he claims that you turned his life around 180 degrees, and I've seen it. You know, his life was a mess, so clearly he needed something. And if that's what it takes, I'm happy for him. But this whole religion thing, it's not for me. You know, I've gotten this far on my own. I think I can continue that way. Now, these are just some examples. But listen, don't fool yourself into thinking you aren't foolish. Don't fool yourself into thinking you aren't foolish because we've all had our moments. Some of us just have shorter memories than others. I'm going to skip number 2 and jump to number 3. We are slow to learn. Husbands or boyfriends can relate to this one for sure. How many times have you learned what upsets your significant other, but yet you continue to do that thing and wonder why she gets mad at you when you do that one thing? How many times will it take you to realize that your life will be so much easier if you just stop doing that one thing? I see all these commercials and incidents on the news where people are in car accidents because they're on their phones or texting. I get so mad at people talking on the phone when they drive. It drives me crazy. Ring, ring. Hello? What am I doing? Hey, nice. Hello, what am I doing? Oh, I'm just driving to the grocery store. I'm not like those other people. I know how to drive and talk at the same time. Man, why am I so grumpy today? It seems like every time I slack off reading my Bible or praying, I start to get grumpy and tired and short-fused. You know what? I think I'll read my Bible tonight. Oh, wait a second. The new episode of my favorite TV show is on tonight, and it's on kind of late, and you know, I'll probably be pretty tired afterwards. Why am I so grumpy today? Stubborn, that's an easy one. No examples needed. Number 5, unpredictable. I made an earlier joke about if you asked a sheep why they started running, they wouldn't know. Well, this happened to me in real life. When I was in my early 20s, I was standing outside of the University of Pennsylvania waiting for a concert. For those of you who are my age, it was a KRS-One, Redman, Method Man, and Ghostface Killah concert. I just freaked some of you out right now with that. It was when rap was actually good. And now I know there are some of you in this room that say rap was never good. But I would argue that in the 80s and the mid-90s, rap was pretty good. But I digress. We were all standing in line waiting for this concert. And out of the blue, everybody starts running. And me and my friends didn't have time to ask questions, so we just started running. And then about 2 minutes later, everybody just started walking back and getting in line again. And we asked all the people around us if they know why we started running, and nobody knew. And to this day, if you asked all those people what happened, I guarantee you nobody would know. It was such a weird and freaky thing. Number 6, we can be followers. Many of us can relate to this, whether it's peer pressure, societal norms, wanting people to like us. But here's the thing. Being a follower is not the problem. The problem is not questioning why you're following or following the wrong leader. If you follow blindly because that's what everybody else is doing, That's when being a follower can be a problem. It's much easier to be a follower because humans typically like to take the easy path. But when it comes to following God, the real leader, he's looking for those willing to take the difficult path. He knows that his kingdom grows through followers willing to sacrifice their lives to become leaders. His kingdom grows through followers willing to sacrifice their lives to become leaders. He wants followers, but he wants leaders as well. That's the Trinity Church vision, Vision 2020, to see undecided people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Now, some of these characteristics should be removed from our lives, such as being foolish or slow to learn. But being a follower can be a good thing. Again, as long as you know why you're following, as long as you're following the correct leader, as long as you're following the one true God. I'm going to go back to number two. We go astray or get lost, or both. Many of us in this room who know Jesus understand this very well. Last week at the 9 o'clock service, we sang Amazing Grace. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. This is the testimony for many Christians out there. We were lost in the lies of Satan, in the grip of society, in the social norms, in our selfishness, and in our sin. And I'll tie in number seven as well. We had family and friends and significant others with us along the way, but we basically lived our lives independently. We didn't live for God. We lived for ourselves. And think about this. Over the last few decades, the word dependent has become negative. Independent is the way to be. You get to where you want to go by doing what you need to get there. You don't need anybody else. You just need me, myself, and I. Dependence is weak. Independence is strong. Dependence holds you back, but independence sets you free. God? Who's that? It's all about you. There is no God. And if there is a God, he isn't who these people say he is. He's whoever you say he is. Your truth is based on your experiences. There is no absolute truth, especially not from some ancient book that was written thousands of years ago. You do you. You just do whatever makes you happy. That's how you succeed in life. This described me to a T. I loved my independence, my selfishness, my sin. I loved living up to the standards that was set by society. I was so deeply entrenched in myself that when I finally looked up from the grass that I was eating, I was by myself. I was so alone. I was so completely lost. I had isolated so many people from my life that my flock barely had any sheep left in it. And I needed a shepherd to bring me back. I was lost. Now, many of you have heard my story, but I'm going to quickly summarize with a slide. This is how I basically spent every weeknight of my life from 2008 to 2010. I would come home from work and I would sit on the couch with these items. I spent most of my night sniffing OxyContin up my nose, smoking weed, watching TV, eating fast food. At all possible, I tried my best not to hang out with anybody. If I did, it was with fellow drug users. However, I never went anywhere. If they wanted to hang out, they had to come to my apartment because I didn't want to leave. This was my lifestyle for almost 2 years. Now, many of you know that in 2010, I was arrested on felony drug charges. Best day of my life. Best day of my life. Because I slowly began to learn how to live differently as I attended outpatient rehab and AA meetings and church. I began to realize how much of a lost sheep I really was and that I needed shepherds in my life. And it took me almost another year to realize that I only needed one shepherd in my life, and that shepherd was Jesus. If I wanted my life to change, I had to become dependent on him. I learned to recognize my shepherd's voice, and I began to respond to him, and it's exactly why I'm sitting up here today. Listen to what Isaiah says in chapter 53, verse 6 of his book. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Now, maybe you were not as lost as I was. Maybe you were. But notice the first word of this verse, all. All of us have strayed away like sheep in some manner, and we all left God's path to follow our own selfish one. Maybe you're lost today. Trust me, your shepherd is waiting for you to recognize his voice. Jesus is your shepherd, and he wants you to respond to him. He will protect you. He will watch over you. You need to accept him as your Lord and Savior. I promise you that your life will change just like mine did. Picture this. Sunday night, 10:08 p.m., Las Vegas, 32nd floor, Mandalay Bay Casino. A 64-year-old man named Stephen Paddock opens fire on an innocent crowd. Chaos ensues as the crowd runs and cowers in fear, having no idea where the gunshots are coming from. In fact, some people run to the gate where they entered, which was toward the shooter. 59 people dead, hundreds injured. When the police get to his room, he fires at them, injuring a security guard. SWAT has to be called in, and eventually he kills himself. Can you imagine that scene? I can't. But what a tragic and sad event for all those involved. Many people, including the president, called this an act of pure evil, which I don't totally disagree with, but it's much deeper than that. Stephen Paddock fits the definition of a sheep. We can name three characteristics right off the bat without even knowing him. He was foolish, he was unpredictable, and he had clearly gone astray. Many news stations are trying to answer why a man would do something like this, and we may get some insight, but because people can't talk about Jesus on TV, the public will never get the whole truth. And the truth is, Stephen was a lost sheep. No matter the motive or the reason, he was a lost sheep that didn't know Jesus. And Satan loves people like this. Satan uses people like this to execute his pure evil upon the world and just throw them away and on to the next one. It was an act of evil, but Stephen was a lost sheep. I put some Bible verses in your bulletin insert that contain references to humans as sheep, to God as Jesus as our shepherd. I encourage you to read them this week, but I want to read you a passage this morning. See, as Christians, we do our best to interpret the meaning of Scripture. As a pastor, I'm supposed to study and analyze and find all the meanings in the Bible verses I read. I'm supposed to present the most thoughtful, intelligent, and meaningful sermon that I can. But there are times when I don't have to do that. I simply have to read God's word verse by verse and let it speak for itself. So I decided I'm going to do that today. I'm not going to give you some super insightful interpretation. I'm just going to read it. It comes from the Gospel of John. I don't want you to follow along as I read it. I just want you to listen. Close your eyes if you want to, but listen. These words were spoken by Jesus himself, the best preacher that ever lived. And it should give you some insight into what happened in Vegas last week. This is Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run because he isn't their shepherd. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him. So the wolf attacks and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. That was from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. Listen, we may be slow to learn. We may be foolish. We may be stubborn. We may be unpredictable. We may get lost on this path that we call life. We may listen to the thieves and robbers. We may get attacked by wolves. But Jesus is our shepherd, and he loves us. He knows us. He cares for us. He protects us. He does not abandon us. He chases away our wolves, and he saves us from the thieves and robbers. We are his sheep, and he is our shepherd. It took me 34 years to realize this, and another 6 to get to where I am today, where I'm now able to recognize his voice and respond to him. I have responded to him this morning by sharing this message of hope with you. If you feel lost today, there is a solution, and that solution has a name. His name is Jesus. He wants to be your shepherd. I want to share another Bible passage with you. Most people have heard some translation of it in their lifetime, and I can personally read it with confidence and conviction because I've experienced its truth. And I'll insert some of my own commentary as I read. It comes from Psalm 23, verses 1 to 4. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need, meaning I can be fully dependent on him for everything, and he will come through for me. He lets me rest in green meadows. There is so much grass here, I don't have to stray to find it. And I can rest well knowing that I'll never go hungry. He leads me beside peaceful streams. Meaning, even if I do jump in, it's no big deal because the stream is peaceful. I will not get washed away. He renews my strength and guides me along right paths. Meaning, he will not put me in a dangerous situation like the edge of a mountain or on the side of a road. He will keep me safe, bringing honor to his name. He will never fail to represent the nature of his character as a shepherd, ever. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. He is your shepherd, and he will take care of you. And I think it's time that some of you begin to realize this truth. And if you think that you are not worthy, or you think that God doesn't actually care because of things that happened to you in your past, let me leave you with another passage. It comes from Luke 15, verses 3 to 7. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. God loves you. God loved Stephen Paddock. God wants to be our shepherd, and when one sheep gets lost, he pursues them. One thing we have to realize, however, is that some sheep are so far from the flock that it's extremely difficult to bring them back because God has allowed us to make our own choices in life. Some may have a problem with God, especially if they have a false conception of him. If many Americans believe in a benevolent God, they're having a really hard time right now, wondering why God would let this happen. And it's a legitimate question. Why would God let this happen? So listen to me, and this may just be my opinion, but I say, God did not let this happen. It just happened. God did not let this happen. It just happened. Human beings have free will, and can be influenced by all types of things. But to take away free will would be to take one of those things that makes us human. So to summarize, sheep get lost, but it does not mean that God stopped trying to find them. He is constantly chasing down his lost sheep, but as many of us know, not all lost sheep get found. It's a hard truth, but it's the truth. Sometimes as humans, we have to swallow the hard truth, and this is a hard one, to be honest. But here's my truth. I don't want any of you to be that lost sheep. I want you to find out who God is, who Jesus is. He is our shepherd. I want you to follow him and become part of his flock, just like I did 6 years ago. Let me say another thing to Christians. God cares about all the Christians in this room, but he will take his attention off of you for a little to find his lost sheep. We must believe that at Trinity because it's our vision. We care about the people who have decided already, but we care more about the people that have not decided. I spend most of my time and effort during the week at Trinity making preparations for the lost. I honestly do not spend time wondering what the Christians will think. I am interested in finding lost sheep. That's where humility comes into play. We have to understand that we are not as important as we think we are. God values us, but we aren't special. You aren't special. I am not special. You and I have already responded to the shepherd, but there's so many people outside of these four walls that have not. We as Christians need to live our lives helping God find his lost sheep, and there are so many Christians out there in this world that miss the mark on this. Now, here's the real truth, and it's not a contradiction to what I just said. You are special. You are important to God. You are valuable to God. He loves you. But you are not the only person he loves. You are not the only person he loves. We are all his sheep, whether we know Jesus yet or not. So today, we revealed one piece of who God is. He is our shepherd, and we are his sheep.